Well, just looking at this past week in the US, and it's interesting, isn't it, that after we had that half percentage point cut by the Fed, going back to their last meeting, there was an expectation that things would fall into place and allow them to continue cutting through to the end of this year, and they would cut relatively aggressively over the next 12 months. That's just starting to fade a bit, mostly because the US economy is still holding up pretty well. And we saw that through much of the data last week. We had inflation readings, for example, and they're getting stickier. We had the September CPI came out, and it was expected to rise 0.1%. It rose 0.2%. As a result of that, the year-on-year came down, but not much, to 2.4% from 2.5%. And the core CPI, that didn't come down. It stayed at 0.3% month on month. It was expected to be 0.2%. And as a result of that, the year-on-year actually went up to 3.3% from 3.2%. And we had it there with the September producer price index too. That was expected to be up 1.6% year-on-year. It was up 1.8% year-on-year. And the core producer price index was expected to be up 2.7%. It was up 2.8%. So those few inflation readings that came through late last week, just enough to put a question mark into, if they do ease at the next meeting, they might be able to do another 50. It'd probably be a quarter. And, could they possibly even pause at the next meeting? So those sorts of issues are just coming to the fore at the moment. Messing everything up in all this, of course, is weather in the United States, and obviously the terrible hurricane season that's run through Florida and several of the southern states in particular. That's just starting to mess with some of the data. And one where we can see it messing is the initial jobless claims reading for the most recent week. There, we got a sudden jump to 258,000 from 225,000. And that's not surprising, given that several businesses have been very badly impacted, obviously, by what's happened down in Florida. And as always, when you get these sorts of things, you do get some impact running back to GDP growth. So GDP, would be expected to, in the very near term, lose a little bit. But as you go further ahead, you get the rebound coming through as you get the cleanup and the reconstruction. And it's interesting, it hasn't really affected some of the trackers yet for GDP growth, because they're still running very strongly. The Atlanta Fed's tracker came out last week, and it's looking now at 3.2% annualized growth for Q3 GDP when it comes out in the US. So, clearly that's still fairly firm and is a headwind against bringing interest rates down too much further. Now, this week in the US, we get quite a number of leading indicators in various of the regions in the US. We'll also get retail sales, industrial production, and a few housing statistics coming out through the course of the week. So you're looking, first of all, at those leading indicators of activity in various areas. On Tuesday, we've got the New York Empire State Survey coming out. That had a really good bounce last month. It went up to plus 11.5. Had been in negative territory before that, had a very strong rise. They're expecting some pullback on that to plus 2.4, but still, more optimists than pessimists running through that survey in New York State. And later in the week, we get the Fed District of Philadelphia, their Philly Fed survey, comes out for the month of October. That, if anything, is going to look even stronger. It had a bounce too last month from a negative reading to plus 1.7, and they're expecting that one will lift a bit further to 4.2. Plus 4.2. So those leading indicators looking as if they're looking a little bit firmer. The retail sales numbers coming out for the month of September, again, a relatively firm report expected when they come out on Thursday in the US, and looking for plus 0.3% month on month after a plus 0.1 the month before. And core retail sales about the same as the month before, plus 0.1, but still okay. And then we get the various housing indicators. We get a few of them at the end of the week. We get things like the October National Association of Home Builders Index. Again, there's some expectation of improvement there to 43 from 41. September building permits and housing starts, they're both out towards the end of the week. Remembering that, going back to August, both those had a very strong rise. In August, building permits were up 4.6% and housing starts were up 9.6% in the month. In September, expected, and this is before we really get bad weather starting to impact the numbers, but building permits giving back a little bit, minus 0.7% expected, and the housing starts probably still up, even on that 9.6% the month before, and expect to be up around about 0.3%. So, all told, the data coming out of the US this week, still looking comparatively firm, and still tending to lean against expectations that interest rates can come down quite as fast as expected. But having said that, this is an economy going through what is still a soft landing, with the Fed erratically starting to lower interest rates. So, that's where we're tending to get the support coming back to risk assets from time to time. And still, if anything, straining towards record highs for some of those indices as we look out in the very near term. And that's notwithstanding the fact we're getting a lot closer now to the US election, which, as we get closer to that on the 5th of November, that will start to have some impacts too. But moving to China last week, and we're all waiting for the statements on what they were going to spend and where in the economy. Well, we got a rough guidance on what they were going to spend. It wasn't all that precise. All we know is that they're going to borrow a lot more to spend on various programs, and that those programs will be aimed at trying to support the property sector, the incomes of middle-income Chinese, and some support too for the activities of local government spending. But there wasn't a lot of precision on the statement, and I think the market was rather hoping for that. Having said that, that obviously are going to be moving towards some sort of stimulus coming through in China, but a little bit disappointing relative to expectations of a more precise indication of how much would be spent and on what. That didn't come through in the statement at the weekend. Also over the weekend, we had the September CPI came out of China, as well as their producer price index. These still show an economy which is got excess capacity. The CPI was flat for the most recent month. It was expected to be up by 0.4%. As a result of that, the year-on-year inflation rate's actually come down to 0.4% from 0.6. So that highlights an economy where there's virtually no price pressure. And it showed too in the producer price index, which actually worsened from minus 1.8% year-on-year to minus 2.8% year-on-year. So another indication of the pressures which are running through China's economy. We'll see how they're doing with the rest of the world in data released at lunchtime today. We get their trade data comes out for the month of September, as at lunchtime our time today. And we're expecting some falling back in growth of exports. It was plus 8.7% year-on-year going back to August. It's expected to only be plus 6 for the most recent month. And imports, they were just puddling along, only up 0.5% year-on-year going back to August. Not much better than that expected for September at plus 0.9%. Then we get through to Friday this week, where we get a lot of data coming out of China, including their Q3 GDP. That is expected to moderate, and at this stage the market thinks that the year-on-year will moderate to 4.6% from 4.7%. I think there's a risk it'll moderate more than that. We get things like September fixed asset investment spending was 3.4% year-on-year going back to August, probably down, and the market thinks 3.3% year-on-year for that when it comes out. We get September industrial production, Markets hoping that there's a little bit of an improvement there to 4.6 from 4.5, and a little bit of an improvement for September retail sales to 2.4% year-on-year from 2.1% going back to August. And we also get September house prices, and last month they deteriorated to minus 5.3% year-on-year. It wouldn't surprise to see a high five handle minus number for the most recent reading, and even that understates how far house prices have fallen. Having said that, there have been some changes in the housing sector relating to deposits and conditions for purchases. That may provide some relief, not for this month, but as we last start to look at months ahead. But it's still very, very problematic in that sector. The unemployment rate too, which the Chinese have admitted that's been drifting up the last few months. It was at 5.3% going back to August. It's probably going to be around that again for the month of September. And again, it underestimates the extent of unemployment running through the Chinese economy. So it is, we're waiting to see what happens in China. We've had some pretty spectacular rises in the share market there off very low bases over the last week or so, but it's because you've had Chinese authorities in there buying, so there's been some support from the authorities there, which have just jump-started that. But whether that can flow through to the real economy is another matter. And then moving to Australia, and last week some interesting data and reports. You had the minutes of the last RBA meeting. And they were still relatively hawkish. They are still very concerned about getting inflation down. And whilst they can see all the risks on either side for economic prospects, there's still inflation is front and centre of what they're trying to do. So there's no indication in those minutes that they're thinking about an interest rate cut anytime soon. And then there are only sort of surveys that came out last week, but there was some improvement running through some of them, more than you would normally expect. It looks as if the economy is actually running a bit better than where you see it reported in the papers, and it's certainly not flat on its back. We had things like ANZ job ads for the most recent month. They were up 1.6%, and they're running at a pretty high level anyway. We had the NABS business survey, and there was an improvement in that in both business conditions and business confidence. Business conditions, which reports where they've been tracking, it was a pretty significant rise from plus 3 to plus 7. Business confidence, which has been negative, was minus 5 going back to August, but it improved to minus 2. This is a diffusion index where you look at optimists, less pessimists. So you've still got more pessimists and optimists relating to the outlook, but the past is looking relatively good for many Australian businesses according to that survey. We also had the October Westpac Consumer Sentiment Survey, and that one had its biggest rise in 2 years. It was up 6.2% month on month. Now, the index level is low, so the 6.2% lift doesn't take the index up that much. But surprising strength running through that. Elsewhere in our region, we had the Reserve Bank of New Zealand had their meeting last week, and they actually cut by 50 basis points. They cut from 5.25% to 4.75%, but that still leaves their official rate above our 4.35%. And for an economy which is much closer to recession than we are, with an unemployment rate which is up in the sixes. There's big differences between us and New Zealand. They've been hit much harder by much higher interest rates. It's not really an indicator of what may happen here. And then we move to what's coming out of Australia this week. And the big one is on Thursday. It's the labour force data again. Now, this is another one of those indicators which has been surprisingly strong 3 months in a row now. Last month, we had employment up 47,500. We've had over 40,000 increases in employment 3 months in a row, running through to August. It really is running very, very strongly there still. The participation rate at 67.1% is up at a record high. That's indicative of a still pretty tight labour market. The unemployment rate last month, it held at 4.2, but if you go to the next decimal point, we were a bit above 4.2 going back to the month of July. We're a bit below 4.2 for the month of August, so it was actually a little bit of a drift lower. I wouldn't be, even though the market's expecting 4.2% again for the unemployment rate, it's a real chance that it may come in at 4.1 or less. And at this stage, the market's expecting 25,000 lift in employment for the most recent month. But yeah, this has been a very, very strong reading all the way through this last 3 months. And it'll be interesting to see what it reads again for this next month. But what we've seen in Australian data over this last month or so, we hear these stories about the economy's been pummeled by high interest rates. Well, not according to most of the recent data readings. Most of those have been comparatively firm and heralding actually a rather stronger GDP read when it comes out in early December than we've had over the recent quarters. This is still pointing towards the Reserve Bank very much on hold with the cash rate, and for longer rather than a shorter period. So just watching how all that data comes through. Moving to Europe last week, and we had the October Centix Investor Sentiment Survey, slightly better than expected, and slightly better than the previous month, although still with a negative sign on the front, minus 13.8 from minus 15.4. August retail sales, they were a little bit firmer than they were going back to July. They lifted 0.2% after being flat going back the month before. So not much happening running through those indicators. And not much in the way of indicators ahead of the ECB meeting this week as well. And the ECB, remembering that last month they dropped the deposit rate, but their lending rate, they dropped even more. So there was a 25 basis point drop in the deposit rate, and there was a 60 basis point drop in the lending rate. Market's still thinking there's probably another interest rate cut to come from the ECB, so the deposit rate expected to come down to 3.25% from 3.5% going back the month before. Remembering that in Europe, that's the only place where we've now got some annual inflation reading that is inside 2%. Is the ECB's target. They're down to 1.8% most recent inflation reading in Europe. So they have got a bit more capacity because their economy has been much weaker than elsewhere, particularly the biggest economy in Europe, Germany, which is still in recession. And so that's the factor which is giving some leeway there for the ECB to continue lowering interest rates. But overall, just watching developments around the world. But as far as economies are concerned, if anything, just starting to march towards those central banks that have been lowering interest rates, perhaps becoming more cautious. And here in Australia, the Reserve Bank still has plenty of reason why it should be continuing to hold the cash rate at 4.35%. For the foreseeable future, and still has no clarity on when it might be able to start to lower interest rates, and particularly if we get another firm labour force reading on Thursday this week.